Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here with y'all this morning, as always. I find that I keep looking forward to Sundays as soon as it's over. Let's make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my sins unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling. When I am afraid, aware of your daily mercies, that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. Sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages
eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise.
St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you have whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who was in him and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is really, you know, a special Sunday. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to the dads. I read Jeremiah and my heart goes out to him. Jeremiah was at one time a great comfort for me early in my ministry. I wasn't in the best of places. I was in a church that was conflicted. Eventually, I became, I guess, a lightning rod. It burned. but God got me through it, and Jeremiah helped me at the time, because Jeremiah is such a great figure in Scripture as a prophet. His ministry was hard. I mean, how would you like it if God called you to go out and proclaim His word, but that word was constantly bad news? At least that's what they heard. They nicknamed him because of the things he would say, and they just called him old doom and gloom. Yeah. Now, I didn't have that problem of constantly having to proclaim the law. I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I could leave the pulpit and not declare the gospel. But I saw hurting people in that congregation. I didn't look at them that way back then. I just looked at many of them as alligators or just, you know, a pain in my side. It was a difficult time. But, you know, Jeremiah had it far worse. You know, he was out there proclaiming the word of the Lord. He wanted to just shut up, to quit. But he says, I can't keep quiet. If I try to keep quiet, it just burns in my bones and it's got to come out. I've got to say it. And that's how it is with God's word in all of us, really, I think. We might want to be silent at times, maybe say nothing at all, and yet sometimes we're pushed into saying something because God's Spirit moves us in a particular way, in a particular direction. People over the years have asked me, why did you go into the ministry, or what happened that moved you that way? And I usually say I went in kicking and screaming. It wasn't my choice. It was not my first choice. It wasn't my second or third choice. But I'm here, and I sometimes feel like I'm still kicking and screaming. And mostly just saying, why me? Why me? There's nothing special about me. There's not. I'm no better than anyone else. I mean, isn't that how we look at the pastoral office, though, as being kind of up there? And it is. But those men that have that position are like you. We are vessels that carry the word of God. And we're not perfect, but we do not let sin rule our hearts. I'm often amazed by the way Paul writes. It's just lengthy, and you can't take it in with just one read. You kind of got to go back and read it all over again. And this whole section dealing with our salvation and sin, this follow-up from last week even, you got to kind of read it over again. And what he's talking to the Roman Christians about, he talks to us today as well, because we need to hear this word of his. that we do not lose faith, that we do not lose trust. And that's really what he is talking about. Don't go back to the way you were before you came to know Jesus. Do not go back there and let your members become instruments of sin. Because he reminds them, what good did that ever do you? It only led you deeper into lawlessness. And at the end of it all, death. But Paul says, you are different. You are changed. And this is what makes me special, and it makes you special. From your heart, you have believed in the Savior. You have believed in his promise of salvation. You have believed that your sins were crucified with Jesus. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but the Father who is in heaven, just as he did with Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal to you that this was God's plan. But the Son of God has revealed that to you. We are special because we are the children of God. We have been made special. And sin no longer rules us. We may sin, but it does not rule us. It cannot crush us. It cannot put us to death. Because Christ has taken that crushing blow upon himself. He has set you free, but you're not a free man in the sense you got the liberty to do whatever it is you want. No, that would be being like we used to be when we were slaves of sin. But you are no longer a slave of sin because from your heart you have believed and with your lips you confess. You are not a slave to sin, but you are a slave to Christ. And Christ makes us free. Free in ways the world cannot understand. It's the purpose Jesus came, and when he looked over the multitude, he had compassion on them because they were a people, a multitude of people who were like sheep without a shepherd. He looks over them with compassion, and he says to his apostles, pray to the Lord of harvest for workers. Pray for workers. I used to always say, be careful, well, when I preach this around this gospel anyway. Really, really, truly, the words that you've heard before, be careful what you ask for. Because when you pray for workers, you know what God's going to say? Get to it. What's holding you back? He sent his disciples out that way. Get to it. No time to be, you know, lollygagging. No time for holding back. First go into Judea. Go all around the surrounding area. Don't go to the Gentiles at this time. He doesn't want them to do that. But that will come. At this point, he wants them to go to the people of the covenant. God's people. Tell them the good news. Tell them their Messiah is here. Tell them that the Christ is here, that the kingdom of God is near. Heal their sick. Heal their those who are possessed. Raise the dead. All the things he did. Not to put the people at awe, but maybe if they look to their Father in heaven, if they look to the one who has promised and cared for them for centuries, they should be overjoyed, but we know that doesn't happen. And Jesus tells them, you know, the truth is that's not going to happen. you're going to be handed over to people who are going to beat you. You're going to be imprisoned. You're going to have all kinds of trouble in your life. And you know why? Because you bear my name. Talk about a winning message, right? Go out into the world and tell people that. They're going, wait a minute. But he says why. He says because they hate me. They're not going to treat you differently. They'll hate you too. Not everyone, understand, because he's not talking about everyone. He's talking about those who will reject him. But he says, don't be afraid of those people. They can only kill you in this world. They can only destroy your flesh and blood, but they have no power over your soul. And Paul would say, your soul belongs to Christ. And we would say, amen. Amen. And we are very thankful. He is our Savior. He is our God. And we are so thankful. And He comes to us today in His Word. He comes to us in the hymns. He comes to us in the Lord's Supper. He comes to wrap Himself around you and strengthen you and give you courage in this world. And He's glad to have you. You are special. I am special. He just gives us different tasks. But let us be faithful in the task that He gives us, whatever it may be. For it is appointed to you. And it may change over time. And indeed, it has, over time, been a changing job. A changing vocation. We hear Jeremiah's lament because sometimes it does feel like God has tricked me. God has deceived me. It's not supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be where everything is good. Everything happens the way it ought to. And when it doesn't, we may be left in despair. We may be left thinking, have I wasted my time? St. Paul would answer that, no. Not at all. God has His plan, and He has His task for you. Don't try and give Him what it is you want to do. He won't let you. Just listen to Him and do what He asks of you. Even if it makes you uncomfortable, even if it makes you tremble or think to yourself, I can't do it. Because with God you can, or He wouldn't have called you to do that particular task. And I can't tell you what it is because, like I said, it is always a changing thing. At one point in your life, you were a child. You were growing. Your tasks were different. As you got older, you perhaps went on to school, I would assume, because we all do. And you were a student. And in truth, we are still students. We're always learning at the feet of our Lord. As you got older, you found someone that you fell in love with and you married and you had children. You became a parent. That was your task. And maybe you remember what that was like when you had your first child. Was it a time of joy? Of course. Was it a time of fear? Of course. Has that changed? Probably not. We still worry over those we love, even if they are adults and they're able to do on their own. But your task is always one that is evolving in a sense, moving and changing, and where it is that God places you in that time, in that space, in that place, He has much in store for you to do. Pray to the Lord of harvest that He sends workers, and it is you that He sends, wherever you are, wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you play. But remember always to the one whom you have been called to, Christ Jesus. We are his brothers and sisters, and yet he is our God. We love him, and he loves us even greater. He will never abandon you. He is always there beside you. And that's God's promise to us. That's Jesus' promise to us, even when times look rough. And they kind of look rough right now. But, you know, I kind of imagine Jesus looking over the multitudes throughout the world who are protesting with that same compassion he had for the crowds then. He sees what we don't see. We see a crowd of people, and we might agree with what they're protesting about, or we might not agree with it. But it doesn't matter. Look deeper. Look at what's going on. There is a spiritual warfare going on. Don't look at things in terms of flesh and blood, but look at things in terms that God uses. This is a spiritual warfare, and Jesus looks out at the multitudes who are protesting, at the multitudes who are being harmed and hurt by different actions of other people, by people who are imprisoned for unrightly because of the gospel, for instance, or people who are unjustly condemned and thrown into prison for some crime, whether it be for the gospel or be because of sin, it doesn't matter. It is a spiritual warfare that is going on. And Jesus looks out with eyes of compassion, just as he has looked out to us with those same eyes of compassion. And we are called to follow him, to love them as he has loved us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Doctrine and harmony of life together under the cross.
cross of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, we remember those who serve us in Jesus' name. Bless the leaders of our synod, all pastors and teachers, and all church workers, that they may be faithful in their calling and honor Christ with an obedient life. Raise up those who will follow in their steps and serve your kingdom in the years to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, give grace to those being baptized, to the catechumens in their instruction, and to all the places where your people gather to learn your word. Equip us to live out the promise of our baptismal life under your grace, and guide us to love our neighbors as you have loved us. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, give healing and strength to the sick and all afflicted in body or mind, and grant to those who struggle the gift of peace of mind and heart. Hear us especially for those who have requested our prayers, including Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galdias, Jan Johnson, Bo Wolf, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, and Gloria Havman, and those whom we now name in our hearts. Restore our nation and the world in health and livelihood, and preserve us from pestilence and fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, give courage to those near life's end and comfort those who mourn. As we recall the saints who trusted you in life and who died in Christ, encourage us by the witness of your grace and their faith, so that when Christ comes in his glory, we may be found faithful and delivered with them into the glory of your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, by your word and table, you continue to feed and nourish your people with all that sustains our lives and faith. Help us to receive these gifts with faith and with repentance. Bring us to that day when all earthly division will cease in unity and faith. And united in faith, we shall be one people before your altar. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, sanctify us as your people and make us bold to confess you on earth. When this earthly life is ended and when we stand before you on high, grant us to hear the Savior's acknowledgement that we are his and he is ours forever. Lord, in your mercy, all these things, Father, and everything else for which we need, we pray you to grant us for the sake of your Savior, Jesus Christ, who died and rose and lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Christ. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace and joy.
Great Place book that he's excited about. came out poetry. So anyway, enjoy. I just want to give a short synopsis of yesterday. Thank you, Robbie, again. We are so grateful. He set us up for God, where we could view the LWNL convention. It was great fun. We laughed. I mean, Abby Foskey had us laughing because she's our little comic relief in between, and that was fun. Thank you, Caroline, for hosting us, and thank you for coming. We had
an amazing one.
Yes, it was. We had Jenny and Caroline and Peggy and myself and Mom. Yes, there were five of us. And we were on the big screen with the rest of everybody. Thanks to Robbie making sure that our app worked. It got it all going. Peggy got her phone going and clued us in. There were people calling us from Victoria to see how we got on there, and they wanted to be on too. Of course, we all had our phones on silent, so we missed the call. But anyway, there were more people who actually viewed and participated in this because of it being virtual. But we missed the hug. You know, it's always a place where you hug and hug and hug, and it was great. But at the end of the convention, there was $19,358.29 sent in with Mike, and $136.75 came from St. Paul.
Nice.
And that's not just that.
Praise God.
Our congregation contributes to that in the light box. So that was really great. And money's still coming in. So we had a great day, great fellowship, great food, and laughs, and it was great. And sorry y'all couldn't all be there, but it was fun.
Maxie.
And I'll give the announcement that Dan usually does. We want to say happy birthday to Pastor Reverend Ray. It's his birthday on the 26th, and the Bubba Brzozowski are also on the 26th. And happy anniversary this week to Jan and Sheila. Sorry that they're not here. They're celebrating.
It's Father's Day,
and the flowers today were provided by Peggy to the glory of God and honor of godly fathers, and to Pastor Ray's birthday.
Woohoo! All right, any other announcements? Okay, let's rise and join in singing the closing hymn, I Trust, O Lord, Your Holy Name.